I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 596. It is October 19, 2016. Now let's keep working today on our understanding of this beautiful love song given to us by none other than King Solomon himself, and the Lord through him, of course. As I'm reading that first verse today, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, I notice there's a couple, there's different variations on the translation. For example, the lily of the valleys is simply a lily of the valleys, and it is plural, valleys. Some people look at that and say, I'm just a common person. I'm just a lily of the valley. Just others say, I'm the lily of the valley. And they build that thing up and say, yes. And, of course, that's referring to Jesus. And we put that in Jesus' songs, although there's no clear indication that it belongs there. The rose of Sharon. What's that mean? Well, you're going to read in the commentaries a whole gamut of possibilities about the rose. Now, the lily, Sharon, and all the interpretations of it, you will see the and a before each flower, a rose of Sharon. You'll hear about a rose, but also they'll say it's not really a rose, it was a narcissus he was talking about. You'll find in the commentaries that Solomon is praising himself highly, or that he's merely modestly calling himself a common flower of the field. And occasionally, you'll read that this line is actually spoken by the bride and not Solomon at all. That would really mess up our songs, wouldn't it? Consider verse 2, where Solomon may be responding to her, agreeing with her, that she is but a lily. Ah, but such a lily, surrounded by thorns. She comes off as an incredible wonder in his eyes. You see how that translation would be. Yeah, you're a lily of the valley, but, oh my, an incredible person and so special. So, out of all of that, this is chapter 2. Out of all of that, what do we get? Christians are going to pick up the theme, as you know, and they're going to write songs about the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley being Jesus. And so the imagery is settled in our head. You're probably feeling just a little bit insulted that I would dare come against such an interpretation. But tell me, where is this anywhere else in Scripture? When the Old Testament makes a prophecy, the New Testament picks up on it. But not this one, if it is indeed a prophecy. Fact is, we don't know the significance of this phrase. And no theology should be squarely based on it for that reason. Those who see Jesus in all the beautiful things of earth are certainly justified in inserting him here, of course. But they should never force that interpretation on anyone else. Be very, very careful about taking something out of the Bible and saying, this is what it really means. I've heard particular charismatic preachers preach like this a lot from the prophecies that we'll be getting into soon. They just randomly say, now this is what this means for us today. Well, I don't know that that's true. I can challenge that. I can question that. Unless God himself says, this is what this means, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I can always take it as a possible interpretation. But if God hasn't clarified and said, yeah, this is what I mean, then I'm not with that. So that's all I can say on chapter 2, verse 1. Sorry if I let you down and took a long time to do it. How about chapter 2, verse 15? Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. Now, this is a difficult one, too. Again, the commentaries have their different take on what the allegory suggests. But why are we talking about foxes all of a sudden? Why are we talking about anything except each other right now, Solomon and whoever this woman might be. My own search has to do with the literal meaning of the words here, you know. I'm going to try my best to stay with that through the book. And the flow of the activities being described. I must let the interpreters go ahead and interpret. And there are several ways to go. But in fact, who is speaking? And why does he or she speak about foxes right now? Verse 14, chapter 2. Solomon clearly is inviting his love to show him her beauty in form and in voice. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is so sweet, your form is lovely. Oh, I just like being in your presence. Yeah, I understand that could be the Lord talking about his beautiful church. I understand. But let's just keep it to Solomon and the lady right now. In verse 15, that is our question. It looks like more of his comments. Is he drawing her attention to the fact that the time is now for their love? Foxes are already beginning to ruin the vineyard and the atmosphere. And please, now is our time. Or is she saying to Solomon, I cannot come over right now. I'd like to be with you, but I've got this urgent problem. It'd be irresponsible to leave my work here to be destroyed by these little foxes. Help me take care of my work first. Now, if that's true, it's not the most romantic of sentiments, I understand. Again, there are many ways that an interpreter could go with this. And just when we begin to be intimate with the Lord, perhaps the interpreter would say, the little foxes of our lives intervene and distract us. And you see what I just did? I took something out of there and I said, let me, and that's okay as long as I don't tell you that's what Solomon had in mind. That's what the Holy Spirit had in mind. Once I say that to you, I have erred. I have led you astray. But I can see a possible thing there. You can do a lot of different possibilities as long as you don't say, thus saith the Lord. Here's Solomon saying, oh yes, I want to come away and pray and sing and love you, or us saying this to the Lord. But what do I do about the real world responsibilities that are around me now? Right away, I think of Mary and Martha here. Relationship, we say, versus responsibility. But then again, I'm interpreting there. I said I wouldn't do that. It's hard not to do that when you're looking at a book in the Bible. But you know, you can just walk down the street and see things and say, oh, that reminds me of the Lord in this situation. And you know, you get walking with the Lord long enough, everything will remind you of him. You can sit down, and maybe you shouldn't do this too often, but watch a movie or TV program, and you'll be seeing Jesus in it. Others are saying, how did you get that? I was doing a paper on C.S. Lewis. Now, everybody, I thought, knows who C.S. Lewis is. The great apologist and defender of the faith, not too many generations ago, not all that long ago, C.S. Lewis died when John F. Kennedy died, is my understanding, the same day. And I was sharing about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Of course, Christians don't want to read that book because it's got a witch in it. I understand. You're free not to read that. I hope you give me the freedom to read it. But I was reading and I was reporting on it because I was in a secular college and I wanted to share something about the Lord in my paper. And I did. Because I knew when C.S. Lewis wrote that story, he was writing about the Lord. Whether you like that or not, the witch was just the devil and her program was the devil's program to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And nevertheless, the lion, who is the symbol of Jesus in that story, did go to the cross. Not a cross, but he went to his death because of her trickery, but then rose from the dead. And I brought it out that he was talking about Jesus, and she was incensed with me because I saw Jesus in that story like I'm supposed to. Now, he doesn't mention Jesus. He doesn't talk about Jesus at all. He doesn't talk about religion at all in the story. But we know him. We know why. Well, she was so mad that I could actually see that in there. She couldn't see it. Isn't that amazing? The persons who know the Lord, they're going to see Jesus everywhere. And getting back to where we should be here in the Song of Solomon, I hope you can see Jesus in here, as long as you don't demand that I see it like you see it in every verse. Song of Solomon chapter 5 is where I found my next issue. 5-6. We've got a lot of gap that I didn't see stuff in. I mean, it's just back and forth with the Solomon and the lady and the compliments and the praise and a lot of good stuff going on there. And then the bride has a dream and she's worried. And then it looks like a wedding day here. We're not sure. His love is expressed in chapter 4. But then we get to chapter 5 and something happens. Are they married yet? I'm not sure, but it looks like maybe in chapter 3 they were. But I opened to my beloved, this is chapter 5, verse 6, this is the woman opening the door for Solomon to come in. But my beloved wasn't at the door anymore. He had been knocking, but he wasn't there. He'd gone. My heart went out to him as he spoke. I looked for him, but I didn't find him. I called him, but he didn't answer me. Oh, my God, where is my lover? Or, where are you, Lord, my God, my God? Chapter 6, verse 2 says, my beloved has gone down to his garden. Now she knows the answer. That's where he is. And she's looking for him in chapter 5, doesn't find him. So, love and admiration being shared by the two for several chapters when suddenly he's gone to his garden, to his own set of responsibilities, it looks like. Why the sudden movement? This isn't the first time she's left wondering where Solomon is. Actually, in chapter 3, there's another episode about that. And she's able there to find him immediately and bring him back. Where'd you go? Come back here. But now he's gone again. Is this Solomon's way, shall we say, a man's way of running off from the intended to be sure of her love for him? That's what men do. I guess women do that too, don't they? But we're talking about a man here. I know that men do that. Yeah, I could tell you stories. And yeah, I've done it. Okay. Wanted to be sure, you know. Let me get away from here for a while. I got to be sure. One man, when I was much younger. I was driving an ice cream truck for this man, and he who owned a whole bunch of these trucks, and we got talking about, I was a young married at that time, and he was an older, much older married, and he had the wisdom. He wasn't even a Christian, but he gave me some Christian wisdom, if you want to call Song of Solomon a Christian story. He told me, the secret of a happy marriage has to do with how long you stay away from home. And he didn't mean that in any bad way, I don't think. But it is true that the longer you stay away, the more she wants you to be there. And you don't play the game. It's not a game you play. But if you're there all the time, sometimes it's too much. Did you know that, guys? I know women are listening into our secrets here too, but did you know that? You need to get away now and then, and sometimes on a regular basis. That's why we work. That's why we get out of the house and we work somewhere and we go someplace, and it's good. It's good that we're not hovering over each other every minute of every day. That could get pretty serious in a negative way. Not good. And I think that's what part of what is happening here in the story. You say, well, that's insecurity. He wants to know. Yeah, we're all insecure. Did you know that too? Every person who is alive today is insecure to some measure. I know you've met some people that seem pretty secure, but not everybody is as secure as they seem to be. Everybody has that little bit. In fact, the more secure and macho they seem to be, the less secure they really are. I guess you knew that already. I'm not being overly wise here. But no, it's not insecurity that made him go away necessarily. Although, if it was a little bit, it's okay. It's okay.
Do you really love me? Am I worth your time? Am I worth your effort? Do you long after me as I do you? And as you used to? Do you love me just as much as you used to? Every woman wants to know that. Every man wants to know that. Have you lost it? Sometimes we're afraid to ask because we're kind of sure that it has gone south, you know. In fact, we know that it has gone south. We don't even want to talk about it. But that's not good. Got to talk it out. Well, I offer that. Well, if as many suppose Solomon is Christ, I said many suppose, if Solomon is Christ in this allegory, isn't it true that he also hides himself from us? And we know that's not insecurity. But he allows our vision to be clouded sometimes so that we will seek him with all of our heart. And of course, find him with even greater delight down the road somewhere. Now, if you get to the point where you despair, he won't stay away too long. But if you're seeking him in a natural way, he says, "Come here. Here I am. I'm so glad you came after me. You knew I would be here, didn't you?" "Yeah, I knew." "Well, thank God. I'm so glad you came." Well, I'm offering all this as a possibility. As I've said before, there seems to be no clear definition in this poem. God's people see different things in it, and that's good. As long as nothing we see violates principles that are found elsewhere in Scripture. Now, that's another problem. And I have to say, in the charismatic thing, quite often, erstwhile great believers, they see stuff in there and they jump at it and say, yeah, but then they realize later, because somebody points it out to them, you have just come against this Scripture over here. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be sure that what you're getting from the verse lines up with the rest of Scripture. Now, maybe it is an obvious lineup. It seems to disagree, but doesn't really. But check that out. Bring your, quote, revelation to someone else privately first to be sure. I'm talking about somebody that's not flaky. Bring that to them. Let them help discern with you what you just found. You can't just have anything you want in the Scripture. It's got to be true to them first. First pure, yeah, wisdom that comes from above is first what? Pure. Do you realize what time it is? Nobody said anything. You see, it's almost 18 minutes we've been here on a 15-minute program. I'm gone, but I will pick up right here, Lord willing, tomorrow, next time. Thank you for being here today. We started with, I am the rose of Sharon, or is it, I am a rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of the valley, or is it, I'm just a lily in the valleys. I don't know. But struggle with it today. Find out what God is saying to you. Bye-bye.